Oh, changing of the guard here. All right, take your Bible, Psalm 65. Psalm 65, and I mean this. Those of you with little ones, don't you fret. It's part of growing up, and everything's all right. Psalm 65, we're going to read the first four verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. And I promise you, we're going to get out either on time or just a couple minutes before tonight. I have just a truth, one little truth I want to show you tonight that I think will be a blessing. Psalm 65, verses 1 through 4. Let's read this passage responsively. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, we stand before you sinful and needy. Tonight we need this more than we know we need this. We need it in our homes. We need it in our own personal life. We need it in our spiritual life with you. And God, I pray that you'd help teach. Lord, would you drive a truth home, and may you get the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is a very interesting passage to me. I want you to notice in Psalm 65, look at verse 1 again. One of the most interesting statements in all the Bible to me is here in Psalm 65. I want you to notice the Bible says, praise waiteth for thee. Praise waiteth for thee. Now, God is waiting on our praise. It doesn't say that he's waiting on us. It says praise is waiting for God. Now, I think God desires our praise, but God is not sinfully prideful like us humans, and he is not seeking our praise. Do you know that God doesn't need me to praise him to be fulfilled? I need to praise him for me to be fulfilled. Praise is waiting on God. But may I say this, God has angels that do nothing but praise him. He has angels and seraphims and cherubims that he has some that do nothing but every moment of the day say, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. And there is praise waiting on God. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God doesn't walk around with the poochy lip disease waiting up for us to praise him. God's not going to say, well, Brother Wiley didn't praise me today. I'm not going to go anymore. I hate Brother Wiley. Though God doesn't know. Anyway, did you know that the sun came up whether you praised God or not? Do you know that the sun set will set tonight? And whether you recognize it or not, God will still get the praise. Because he created it in itself to praise him. The sun's rise and the sunset itself praises him. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Talks about the sun, the moon, the stars. All these things shall give him praise. And then he ends it again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Can I tell you something? God's going to get the praise whether we give it to him or not. But God wants us to praise. Now, God deserves more praise than we give him. Say that again. God deserves more praise than we give him. God deserves all praise. But God is not seeking that praise and pouting if he does not get it from us. Now, watch this. He wants us to praise him. He created us to praise him. But did you know God doesn't come to you and he doesn't say, Malachi, if you don't praise me, I'm going to bust your head. I'm going to take blessings away from you because you don't praise me. That's how we humans act. But that's not how God acts. Why is it that man is the only creation that struggles praising God? Think about that. Why is it that man is the only creation that struggles to praise God? Because man is sinful. Our sin is the barrier between us and praise. Now, listen to this. Our sin in Genesis chapter 4 caused us to want to be our own God and get the praise ourselves. If you went back to Genesis 4, we don't have time, won't do it. Been there many a times as your preacher. But since that first sin, the devil said, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt be like God, knowing or choosing good and evil for yourself. You don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong, and you can be your own God. You won't need God. It's like Isaiah 14, when Lucifer was in heaven, and it said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the sea of the Most High. I will be like God. Ooh. By the way, that's the same one that tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we did the very same sin that Lucifer did. That's why our pride gets in the way, and we have struggled between us being God and God being God ever since. And now, here we go. All of nature praises God because nature didn't disobey God. All of nature praises God because nature did not disobey God. God had to curse nature due to man's sin. Prior to sin, there were no weeds. My wife and I were doing mulch the other day, two wheelbarrow loads full of weeds, and I'd already done half a dozen wheelbarrow loads of weeds already this year. But can I tell you something? I told her, I said, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to choke him. I'm so tired of weeds. Good night. Oh, wait a minute. God had to curse nature due to man's sin, but nature still praises God and obeys God. Let me make this statement and this analogy. Maybe it'll help you. We see storms, hurricanes, fires, etc. as destruction of nature. But God doesn't see it as destruction. Now watch this. He uses it to cleanse the earth. You know that most of the forest fires in America could be prevented if our government would lift the ban on cleaning up our national forests. If we'd go in and clean out the dead wood, 90% of the forest fires would not take place. Oh, we have to leave it pristine. We can't touch it. We can't remove it. We have to leave it. And we wonder why it burns up. God has to do it to clean it up. If man would do man's job, God wouldn't have to do it for us. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that man looks at a flood as destruction, but God looks at it in another way because it fertilizes the ground, it brings more nutrients to an area? Man's stupidity of building, as I said this morning, too close to water, it becomes destruction to man because of man's disobedience. Folks, your insurance company has enough sense to know whether you live in a floodplain or not. They charge you higher insurance rates if you live too close to the water and you're in a floodplain. You say, why? Because they know eventually your house is going to flood. The potential. That means this. They ought to find out where those floodplains are, and nobody ought to build near those areas so that we don't have the type of destruction that we have. And yet man wants to look at, why did God judge us? He brought, folks, and I'm not, please don't get mad at me. New Orleans is stupid. Why would you build a city under sea level? And when a hurricane comes ripping through there, complain that God isn't fair. It just doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of sense to know water and gravity. Water's going to go down. And if it happens to breach a levee, guess where it's going? Down. And it's going to flood. Good night. When we lived in Charleston, South Carolina, Charleston, amen, Leanne, if you give me a shovel in 2 minutes, I can have water. I'm not kidding. Twice a day, downtown Charleston floods with the high tide. There are certain streets in downtown Charleston that flood every day at high tide. And every day on the radio, they tell you what time the high tide is. And you know who the locals are because they listen to that and know what streets to avoid. Say why? Because when the tide comes in, Charleston, the highest point in Charleston is only about 7 or 8 feet above sea level. So when Hurricane Andrew ripped through there, they had tidal surges 20 miles inland because it's just as flat as a pancake. It's about like Florida. Now, wait a minute. You just learn not to get too close to the water when it's too high. And yet man still builds their house down there and wonders why they flood. Not real bright. Did you know there are places that have earthquakes? California. My wife and I lived in Southern California. I remember our first earthquake scared the bejeebers out of me. No pun intended, shook us up. Our first earthquake was about a 5.5, 5.6. Now that's a pretty good one. I was sitting in my office early one morning. It must have been about 6:15, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I was sitting there working in my office, and all of a sudden my coffee cup started doing this. I thought, that's weird. Wait a minute. That wasn't the coffee. That's the whole building. And I thought, this must be an earthquake. I mean, my coffee cup just like this. And I thought, that's really cool. But I remembered them saying, if there's an earthquake, go to a door frame because that's the strongest structural point in a room because you have extra 2x4s all the way around it and headers and different things, and there's less chance of things falling on you in a doorway. I walked probably from here to where my office door is right there. That's about as big as my office was. And by the time I got there, all of where the boogeyman let loose happened. All of a sudden, it went from to, it sounded like it was one giant roll of thunder, but it wasn't up there, it was underground. And all of a sudden, I reached for my door frame, and it wasn't there, it was 2 feet that way. And I went, whoa, and I'm on the ground, I'm trying to grab this thing. You know those little signs you have hanging in a hallway that's by two chains, you know, a piece of wood? They're going, pow, pow, knocking chunks of wood out of the sheetrock, falling down. And I said, oh, Lord. And I looked up. We had poured concrete floors. And I looked up, and down the hallway was this wave. The whole floor was waving as it came by, and as it hit me, it threw me. And I remember yelling out loud, Lord, I don't mind going downstairs, but let me use the steps. I mean, it shook me up. Scared me to death. You know, after you go through a few of those, you get used to them. I was driving down the road one day and was sitting at a stoplight, and the front end of my car is going, da-ding, 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 da-ding. I thought, what's going on with this crazy car? And then they came on the radio, we're having an earthquake. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. You don't pull under a bridge either or an overpass. Not a good thing to do. You just stay there and let it pass and let the car quit like this and you're okay. But there's different kinds of earthquakes. You got the little shakers and they just like that and they don't bother you. And then you got what we call the rockers. They just kind of drift back and forth. And that's not real bad. But when you get the herky jerkies, look out. Look out. Them herky jerky ones will get you. The Whittier quake, my brother was in Palm Springs during the Whittier quake on a business trip. That was about an hour and a half or so from where we were at. We lost 2 feet of water out of the baptistry on the Whittier quake. It was a 7.1. Okay, on a Sunday morning, the water went whoosh, whoosh. When you lose all the water in the bowl of your commode, you know your house is shaking pretty good. The ground was moving 3 feet. It was moving 3 feet in each direction. Okay, when your house is swaying 3 feet in each direction, and those houses are built on giant upside-down coil springs so that the house bounces with it, it gets real crazy. My brother called and said, get me out of this godforsaken state. I am never coming back. He said, I'm watching the water come out of the pool. How in the world do you live here? He said, I'm seven floors up looking down and the water's splashing out of the pool. He said, get me away from this place. I said, that was a good one, Chris. Don't worry about it. My wife and I'd be sitting in a chair together one night, and this is in the day before too many cell phones. We actually had a phone with those curly Q cords on them that went from the receiver to the earpiece. You'd sit there and you'd watch the cord go. Oh, we're having another one. Let's see how long this lasts. I'm not kidding. They're fun. Now wait a minute. Do you know people build houses too close to volcanoes, and then they want to get mad at God when the thing blows up and burns everything down? It doesn't make sense. Wait a minute. Those are man's fault, not God's, just so you know. That's not God's fault. God does that to help our earth. Now, this is why praise waits on God. God doesn't seek it, but he wants it for our sakes, not for his sake. Listen to this statement. If we begin to praise God, we're less likely to become God ourselves. You have to humble yourself to praise someone else. You're not lifting yourself up, you're lifting someone else up. See, when I praise God, I'm not lifting me up, I'm lifting him up. If I praise my wife, I'm praising her and not me. I don't praise my wife by saying, boy, you made such a good choice in choosing me. No, I praise her by saying, thank God you were not smart enough to choose anybody else. Now, wait a minute. You don't truly praise God by saying, God, look how good I did. Look what I did. No, it's look what he did.
Amen.
Now, I want to give you about five or six things tonight. Actually three, but the last one is just, I'm going to fire a bunch of things at you in the last point. So hang on. And, here we go. Number one, real leadership does not seek praise, though plenty of it comes its way. Real leaders don't seek praise, but praise does come leadership's way. Do you know what real praise is to a leader? Getting the job done, getting it done right. My dad taught me a long time ago, the best part of work is getting the job done. And he said, look, if you'll do it right the first time, he said, a lazy man works harder than a smart guy. A hard worker gets the job done right the first time, doesn't have to go back and do it second and third and fourth and fifth time. So that's why when I drop boxes onto a dolly and bash myself in the head and get a concussion, I do it right the first time. Like I did Thursday. Knocked the snot out of me. First box I took off the back of the truck, bent down a box of books, dropped it on the dolly, and that thing cracked me in the top of the head. Conk! I couldn't see anything but stars. I'm rolling on the ground. He say, what did everybody say? My dad and my daughter stand there laughing at me. And it's not how are you, it's they're laughing. Unbelievable. Now, real leaders often see praise as a cheap way for people to get what they want. There are people, I was talking to Dr. Anderson, there are people that will try to get close to Dr. Anderson to get money from him. That's sick. I know a man he gave $750,000 to help his church. He said, Brother Bush, you know, they wouldn't even send me a letter so I could take it off my taxes. And I asked him seven times. He said, I never got a thank you note. Nothing. I thought, wow. And yet he still gives money in spite of that. That just doesn't make sense to me. By the way, I love Dr. Anderson not because he's a wealthy man. He's invested in my life. He's invested in people that I know and some of my friends. And I love Dr. Anderson because I love Dr. Anderson. And you found out why with being here last week. Now, hang on for a second here. Praise is overrated. Can I tell you something?
if somebody's praising you right now, there's 10 others that are criticizing you for the same thing you just got praised for. I'll promise you. I have people that think we did the very best thing that we should do by moving out of the old building, moving into this one. By the way, we did do the right thing. Didn't he then tell me that? I have others that are criticizing me for it. I don't care. Did you know that you might think you did the right thing and you did do the right thing, but there's people that are going to tell you you didn't do the right thing? Praise is very overrated. Learn how to pass praise to God sincerely. Did you hear what Doc said last week? He said, I had a pastor write and say, when you were here, God used you for it. And he said, stop right there. It wasn't me. It was God. It was God. Don't praise me. Praise God. That's what I like. professional athletes make me want to vomit anymore. Oh, I thank God for the ability to do what I'm doing, and not a one of them going to church. Well, we got a good name in for God. No, you didn't. They didn't go to church. They didn't point anybody to church. I don't know anybody that got saved because some athlete got on national television and said, I thank God for the ability to win the Super Bowl. Puke. I wonder how many Christians didn't even go to church and how many people died and went to hell because of the halftime show. Okay. It's not like the Hollywood people who do all their evil on television and call themselves Christians. Well, I performed a Christian movie, so I'm a Christian. Gag. Did you know that if you live right and you're doing the right things, eventually God blesses that? My wife and I dropped somebody off from church this morning. They had a family member in the yard when we got there, and they said, are you the pastor? My wife was on that side of the car. They said, are you the pastor's wife? Yes, and this is my husband, the pastor. Good. We need to come to your church. She said, I need to get baptized, and my kids need to get baptized. My wife said, are you going to be here Tuesday? We're going to come back. My wife said, they need to get saved before they get baptized, but we'll take care of both of them. Amen. I love it. Man, they're coming to us. Say, how's that work? Couldn't you give praise back to God? Amen. It's all God, not us. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Number one, real leadership doesn't seek praise, though plenty of it comes its way. Be careful trying to fish for praise. Praise is way overrated. Now, I'm for praising people. I really am. Fellas, your wife deserves praise. Amen. She cleans your nasty clothes. She cooks your food. She cleans up after you. She puts up with your smelly feet and your bad breath. Good night. She deserves more praise than you'll ever give her. Ron, it's best for you not to say anything right now. But may I say this? And by the way, sometimes you just need to, but ladies, be careful seeking for it because I know you deserve more than you get. But may I say this, if you don't get it, the fact that he didn't complain is a good thing. Number two, praise is not some emotional experience based on how you feel. Praise is not a feeling. Let me say that again. Praise is not a feeling. Praise is not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is what you are. Praise is not something that makes you tingle. Okay? Just because your shivers go up and down your spine doesn't mean, oh, praise God. I've seen people shiver because they were scared and they weren't praising God, let me tell you. And I enjoyed doing it. Good night. Last Sunday, I couldn't believe I did it. I really couldn't. Yeah, some of y'all get on the elevator and go up and down, and I'll stand there and blah when you get off, and Camden screamed. It was great. Well, last Sunday morning, I did that. I was downstairs. It was kind of during right at the end of Sunday school, so I thought one of y'all were coming down in the elevator. Happened to be the guy at the end of the hallway, the businessman down there. I stand there and went, blah! He went, yes. Mike Schenenberger's down there, and I could hear him in his head thinking, how you going to get out of this one, preacher? You say, what'd you do? I said, we just like having fun around here. Sorry about that. Thought it was just us here. He said, it's okay. He said, sounds like everybody's having a good time. I walked out the parking lot with him. I thought, man, this is going to be bad. I couldn't believe I did it. When I knew who he was, but when it wasn't one of y'all, man, I could have crawled underneath the door without it ever opening up. I saw him this week. I said, I won't wait for you at the elevator. He just started cracking up. He started cracking up. He said, that really was funny. I said, I was not expecting. He said, oh, I knew that. Oh, my soul. You know, praise is not some song that makes your foot tap and you get all happy because your foot's tapping. Praise is not jumping up and down saying, I got it. Oh, ain't God good. Garbage. And I'm for hollering amen. I'm for shouting hallelujah and all those kind of things, but that's not praise. Brother Stoltz singing that song this morning, I just about came unscrewed. Now, it wasn't one of those songs that makes your foot tap, but may I say something? That was praise back to God. Someday, all these problems will be over. Ooh, man, I cannot wait for that one. You know, it's not saying some happy spiritual words in bad situations. You know, you meet them. Oh, I'm just so blessed. Puke. I'm sorry. Vomit. You know, something's going bad. Well, just praise God. You know, when you smack your finger with a hammer, you don't say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just thankful I don't think bad words anymore. I smacked my knee a couple years ago. I was out there with the boys. I had a 3-pound hammer trying to pound a wedge into a piece of wood. And I reared back and went to hit that thing, and it clipped the top of it, bounced off, and smacked me right on top of the kneecap. And I was hitting it with everything I had. That was not praise God time. I fell on the ground. Both of my boys ran into the house. I don't know why they ran into the house. I don't know what they were going to do. I'm out there rolling on the ground. I think my wife wasn't even home. I think they went to go in to find her because they knew I was down for the count. She wasn't home. They had to help get me back into the house. I smacked that thing so bad, it was not even funny. Oh, my soul. Can I tell you something? I didn't feel like praising God at that moment, just so you know. God was saying, stupid. I'm rolling on the ground Thursday evening after throwing a box of books on a dolly that smacked me in the head. And I wasn't saying, oh, praise God, I hit myself in the head. I was saying, Lord, just cut the stupid thing off and get it over with. Goodness. Oh, wait a minute. Praise is not this power of positive thinking. Oh, let's just praise the Lord and let's all hold hands. And even with people that I don't like and people that are not like us, and let's just praise God together. That's not real smart. Praise is telling God how wonderful he is no matter what's going on around you. That's all it is. Praising God is telling God how good he is and how good he's been no matter what's going on around you. It's a Mrs. McCormick. Yeah, it was gone. It's a Mrs. McCormick. I was praising God this morning. I'm not happy she's got cancer, but I was praising God she'd been beating it for a long time. Man, she encouraged us all this morning. That's worth. I'm not praising God for her cancer. I'm praising God for the situation that God's still helping her. That poor lady, she said, I'm going to go home and try to take a nap. Hopefully I'll have enough strength to come back to church tonight. I know there's a lot of sickness going on right now, but here's a lady dying of cancer. They told her to go home because there's no hope. They gave her days to weeks to live. Guess what? She did a pretty good job this morning. God's good, amen? Number three, and I'll hurry. Praise is there. It's just waiting to be used correctly. I'm going to give you good night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 different verses. Write them down. Go back and look at them later. We're not going to take time to look at them, but in Psalm 66, verse number 1, the Bible says, make praise glorious. Psalm 66, 1, make praise glorious. Glorious means giving honor, giving respect, giving benevolence due to God. Did you know God's worthy of praise?
Yes,
sir. You know, he's not the man upstairs, he's God.
Amen.
I don't think we ought to talk about him as the old man upstairs. I think we ought to talk about him as Jehovah God.
Amen.
We ought to give God the respect due to his name. Let's glorify his name. He has set his word above his name, but his name is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I Am. We could go on and on and on and on. His name is wonderful. Can I tell you something? We ought to praise God for who he is. When I get down, when I get discouraged, I just think about all the different names of God. Wonderful. God, you're wonderful. He's my counselor. He's the mighty God. And I get to talk to him. He's the Prince of Peace. Do you know who the Prince of Peace is? He's the guy that wins. Peace comes after war. It's not the prevention of war. It's the winning of the war that brings peace. I could go on and on. And he is the I Am, not the I Was.
Amen.
He's the ever-living God. He doesn't lie. Man, I can get happy in a hurry and start praising God for what he is. Psalm 67, verse number 5, Bible says, let all the people praise him. We are, as a group of people, supposed... You won't find a public praise service anywhere in that book. There is no such thing. But the Bible says, let all the people praise the Lord. Psalm 67, verse 5, and other places. That means all of us are supposed to praise God. Everybody doing all right? Psalm 68, 4, we're to sing praises to him. Did you know you're supposed to sing praise back to God? Praise him. Praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, praise him, praise him when the sun goes down. Man, I was singing this morning. Thank God nobody was here. I was doing it in here. I don't walk out there in case somebody's out there and I go, or something like that, you know. You know, our words are supposed to praise God in our music. By the way, the style of our music is to praise him. God's not for this contemporary garbage out there right now. Everybody doing okay? I think when we sing our songs, we got to sing them clean, not slide around like a bunch of barroom singers from the 70s. Let's keep our music clean. Let's keep it right. Let's get rid of a lot of the offbeat syncopation. And I'm not saying that all syncopation is bad, but the modern contemporary style is very syncopated, which is a rock beat. Christian music follows the beat of your heart. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. The emphasis is on the downbeat, and it beats naturally with your heart. Rock music in a wrong beat goes one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, and it's opposite your heart. That's why people get all jazzed up, because it's going against the natural body beat and rhythm of your life. That's why people actually go almost crazy at these concerts, because it's hyping up their system so bad that they're just like this all the time. It's like they're running a marathon and like they're on speed, and it's from the music. Everybody doing all right? I do know what I'm talking about. Now listen to me very carefully. Our words are supposed to praise God, yes, but so is the style of music. I worry about the style of music that Christianity is now accepting. I shouldn't have done it because I got mad. But a prominent Bible college, somebody mentioned to me a few weeks ago, I hadn't heard anything or seen anything from it in many years. I looked at it. I graduated from Bible college Two years after the guy that runs the place. I know him personally. These girls wear blue jeans on campus. They have secular business leaders that come and speak at chapel. They have long hair, men. All of the guys are wearing their hats backwards and sideways with their gang-style beards and mustaches in their Bible college. They have rock music for their music. And I know a former pastor friend of mine who went and worked for this guy. Everybody doing all right? I know people that have gone to Bible college there. I was talking to a young man just a couple weeks ago, and he said, I went there right after I got saved, and they were going to what I was coming out of, and I didn't want to go into what they were going into because I just came out of it. I thought, how bad could it be? That's why I looked it up. It's bad. It's nasty. Hang on, folks. Our music is supposed to praise God. Psalm 69:34, heaven and earth are to praise him. Can I tell you something? Go out tonight and look at the sun, sunset. Look at the moon, the stars, and praise him for it. Just look up. Man, we have so much to praise God for. Psalm 71:8, the Bible says, my mouth is to be filled with praise. That means if your mouth is filled with praise, there's no room for criticism. If your mouth is filled with praise, there's no room for evil and tearing somebody else down. There's no room for gossip. There's no room for judgment. Filling our mouth pushes out all of the bad stuff. Do you know why some of you have a hard time praising your spouse? Because you don't praise God. The more you praise God, the easier it is to praise other people when they deserve it. Everybody doing all right? Psalm 71:22, and I'll finish with this. Bible says truth will praise him. Did you know that truth praises God? Listen to me, everybody, listen to me very carefully. When you lie, you can't praise God. Telling the truth praises God. Learn to tell the truth, even if it hurts you. Learn to say, I did it. It's my fault. I shouldn't have done it. Learn to tell the truth. Parents, don't lie to your children. Well, I'm just trying to protect them. No, you're not protecting them. You're lying to them. Everybody doing all right? God does not lie. He is truth. Now watch this. The Bible says that the devil is the father of all lies.
That's right.
So if you're lying, you're following the devil, not God. And in your lying, you can't praise God. You have to tell the truth to praise God because he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Only truth can praise him. Feelings aren't always true.
Right.
Did you ever have a feeling and find out it wasn't right? Follow your heart. It'll tell you what to do. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Follow truth.
Amen.
Praise is not some emotional feel-good excitement that we conjure up. Praise is true honor, glory, and giving respect back to God. Hey, let me ask you a question. How's your praise life with God? I'm not talking about do you get alone on in a room somewhere and just start jumping up and down, screaming and hollering and having a spell. Some may do that. That's fine. But that's not all praise, just so you know. Praise God. I want you to notice that one verse again. Praise waiteth for thee. It's there. You don't have to look very far. God's waiting on it. But he's going to get it whether you give it to him or not. He's just going to enjoy it more if you do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope our church becomes a church known for praise. Praise to God, praise to one another, praise to that it flows naturally